Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know by now the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday morning, but there is content added throughout the week, so swing on over there, check out what's going on. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So, all right, Dan, well, it is magically that time for us as we have a fantasy draft in a couple hours. And interestingly here, I started off by noticing that the Seattle Mariners optioned outfielder Ben Gamel to the minors, and I believe he was Mr. Fantasy's last pick in our Money League draft. He made the last two picks without me. I was not allowed to give any input. Because for some reason he rushed through the decisions because I was asleep. And that's who he went with, and now he's in the minors. So, hey, at least we got a player to drop. So, but, yeah, I'm just kind of looking over the names here. You know, being, of course, that our league is bigger, some of these guys pop up. Matt Garza is going to start the year on the DL. So you'll have to work around that, Dan. I know you were high on him this year. But it looks like Trevor Cahill is going to get a spot in the Padres rotation. So if you need if you need another starter, Dan, apparently he's going to be joined by Luis Perdomo, Julie Chassin, your guy Jared Weaver, and Clayton Richards. Or Richard, excuse me, there's no S on it. So
I didn't realize the Angels let Weaver go.
Yeah, I believe he was just a free agent. I didn't realize he'd signed with the Padres. I thought he was still kind of floating around out there. But, you know, he's one of the guys. I'm looking for some bigger, you know, name-wise. I know, you know, Jimmy Rollins was told that he won't make the Giants. He'll be released. So, you know, just kind of. Yeah, maybe he'll come back and, give that a shot. I don't think so after last year, but. Other than that, you know, there weren't really any huge names as you would expect. I know the Rockies did designate Jason Mott for assignment, so, you know, they've got the 10 days to trade or release him. The Tigers released Mike Pelfrey, so it's just kind of some exterior guys that we probably wouldn't have picked. Even in our 20-team league, these guys probably wouldn't have been picked. Maybe Mott, if he would have been in the bullpen, is always a possibility. But I know Drew Smyly is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with the flexor strain in his pitching elbow. He was a guy I was kind of interested in for the Mariners now. You know, he was over there. It looked like he had a spot in the rotation. But, he's going to be out for a while. So that will kind of knock him off my draft board. You know, those things are a little tough to come by. And, you know, Dan, this was the first year I didn't do any mock drafts. I'm kind of trying something different this year. So I'm hoping it works out for me.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I did a 10 or 11 of them, partly because I wanted to get the medal for Yahoo. I know it doesn't mean anything or give me anything, but I'm still waiting for them to process that. But what I ended up doing with all those drafts, the last one I did, I actually logged in to do it, and then I forgot about it, so it just auto-picked itself completely. And I got an A-plus on that one. But I ended up, my new strategy this year, I don't know if you call it strategy or not, but I printed up all the A's that I got. And, you know, and just kind of looking at those teams. And I'm going to have them like bingo. You know, when old people go play bingo, they have like six boards. And, you know, I'm going to have those kind of laid out. And just kind of see where I can go from there.
So, well, that will be interesting.
The challenge comes like after the first round, because you know the max mock drafts they do is 12. So, you know, there's no DSP and anything.
So, yeah, it's, you know, obviously the later you get in the draft, the more difficult it gets. And, you know, I do a lot of Bing, you know, a lot of use of, you know, your favorite search engine, Bing, when stuff is going on, you know, because there is a long time in between your picks. That's the one thing about this league. So, yeah, I do a lot of research and, you know, make sure that, you know, I've got an idea of, you know, who's out there and, you know, all that stuff. When it's going to kind of come rolling back around to me. And, you know, I try to queue up enough players that I've always got a choice ready, so I'm not holding up the draft. And, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, who's this guy starting for, and is this guy going to start, or, you know, is this guy in the rotation, all that kind of fun stuff that you got to go through. It's labor intensive. I mean, even, you know, it is a free league, and you know, if you want to wing it, yeah, you know, you can wing it like that. I mean, it's no big deal, but you know, the problem becomes when it gets later and later in the draft, you just, you know, you've got to make sure you're picking guys, like you said, you don't want to end up with an injured guy, or, you know, in this case, you know, a guy who was relegated to the minors. You know, because then you've got to go through and try to find a suitable replacement, and those, you know, those aren't easy to do at this point in time either. So, you know, it's just one of those.
I did find, though, amongst all the mock drafts, is that relief pitchers are a little bit more valued. They were going a lot quicker than I thought they would.
Yeah, that's you know, that's always a bit of a surprise, but, you know, there is that, you know, one guy who, you know, likes them, you know what I mean? To be fair, if, you know, you go out and you do grab a couple closers, you know, especially in our league, you're probably going to win saves every week, you know, barring, you know, an injury to somebody. So, you know, a lot of it can be, you know, can be draft strategy. And again, you know, our league is a category league, so you have to be able to, you know, build those, you know, those categories. So,
well, and that's why, one guy I stay away from is Chapman, because on average in these, you know, 12-team leagues, he's been going in late six, early, you know, mid to early seventh. So, you figure in our league, he might go between the seventh and ninth round.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, that, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you know, I'm always interested to see, like, who the first closer ends up being on the, you know, all coming off the board. And it almost seems inevitably every year, you know, one of the Cub fans in the league jumps up and takes the Cub closer, you know, just rounds too early because he's, you know, he wants a Cub. So, you know, that's the one thing I've noticed that's always part of our league, obviously being Chicago-centric. You know, there's a lot of guys who will, you know, jump up and grab Cubs really early. Like, I assume Kyle Schwarber is going. I think he's rated to go in, like, the third round. I really won't be surprised if he's one of the top 20 players selected in our league tonight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the attractiveness of several of the Cubs players, except for Anthony Rizzo, is the multiple position. I think that's what really gets you, because you've got Contreras and Schwarber, who both, you know, catch your outfield, so that's a positive. And then you've got Javi, Bryant, and then Ben Zobrist. You know, those guys are all multi-position players too, so that makes them even more attractive.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, obviously the drawback is you just, with a guy like Baez, you just don't know how much he's going to play. You know, it's one of those things where I keep hearing, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to play him so much more and we're going to do this. And then, you know, they said that last year, and it's like, you know, you just got to kind of, you got to kind of wait and see what they do. And, you know, it's like that with, you know, a few of the guys that are, you know, going to be like, oh, okay, you know, this is the year for this guy, and he's going to break out, and he's going to be that guy. And, you know, then he's playing once a week, and you're kind of like, great, you know, what the hell do I do with this guy? So, you know, but it makes it fun, and, you know, it'll be, you know, it's always interesting. You know, I'm hoping we get a pretty good turnout. I know I saw you got a pretty good response to your, well, I don't remember if it was an email you sent out or if it was just something you put on the message board, but we got a pretty solid reply about that. So, you know, hopefully we'll get.
There's one guy that has a fun story, and then I also want to know how you valued him. I know you're, I don't want to say big, but you're kind of behind him last year. But Rougned Odor, you know, locked up his contract with the Rangers, and he got two horses out of it. I thought that was pretty funny. But, you know, what are your thoughts on him? I mean, I don't know. I'm just still kind of not sure where to take him or what his value will be.
Yeah. You know, I believe he's definitely one of the, you know, top second baseman fantasy-wise. You know, kind of bouncing it around in my head here to see who else I can, you know, think
I guess,
of. You know, I mean, the
I guess my question is,
you know, the tough part.
Has his popularity risen based on his performance or based on that shot to Bautista?
Yeah, I definitely think he's more popular now that, you know, he punched Jose Bautista in the face. That made him more popular to me. I have to be honest. I was pretty, you know, I liked him anyways going into last year. Now I liked him even more, you know, after he punched Bautista in the face. So, you know, he's definitely, you know, a quality second baseman. I mean, there aren't, you know, too many guys. I'm trying to, you know, obviously, I mean, there's some, you know, some obvious names. I mean, Altuve is a, you know, an MVP contender. You know, he probably should have won it last year in the American League. You know, I'm always going to, of course, root for Robinson Cano, and he did have a good year last year. But, you know, other than that, I think, you know, Odor kind of hangs out there. I know you'll have to decide this year in our league because Trey Turner is a multiple position guy. He qualifies as a second baseman as well as a center fielder. And then I know he'll also qualify as a shortstop after, I think, 10 games this year. So you'd have to decide where you would want to play him. But, you know, other than that, I mean, yeah, Odor's got to be 3 or 4 right in that area. So, you know, he's going to be a really good get. You know, I know the guy I also like that I have a difficult time hiding from Mr. Fantasy, and, you know, not Starling Castro. That was last year. I'll let you have Starling this year, Dan. But, you know, Jonathan Scope is kind of like a poor man's Rougned Odor. So, you know, if you miss out on Odor and you want to wait, you know, if you can scoop up a Jonathan Scope, he'll produce similar numbers. You know, the problem is you run into it's the Orioles. And, you know, Buck Showalter is very much like Joe Maddon. There are days you just don't know what the hell he's going to do. So, you know, Shoup doesn't end up probably playing as much as he would if he was on another team. I don't think I have his game total here, but, he did get 600 at-bats last year and hit 25 bombs. So, you know, if you get him in that area, you know, that's a pretty decent, you know, he could be a decent value. So, and, you know, I did want to ask you because you were, I think you ended up with this guy the first year he was eligible. And I know he is pretty highly rated. I saw while I was looking. I got to find him here now. How are you on Billy Hamilton this year? Because I'm, you know, I'm not a big Billy Hamilton guy, but I know you had him. Was it the first year he played, his rookie year?
Yeah, and he didn't really, I mean, you know, for all the speed he had, I don't remember if he broke Ricky Henderson's record in the minor leagues for most stolen bases in the season, but in the minor leagues, not in the majors. But, you know, I kind of felt like with a kid like that, with the speed, he should have been a guy who can get on base to lead off. And, you know, while he wouldn't be a guy getting you home runs or RBIs, I thought it would help secure the stolen base category a little bit better. And then the runs and hits. But, you know, if you figure a kid like that would should be, you know, like I said, leading off and just knocking the ball around to first, you know, getting on first and getting on second. To kind of boost up your singles, your doubles, your overall hit. And I don't remember if we get total bases or not in our league. I don't remember, but, you know, then add to the run category because with him leading off, if he's landing on first or second, you know, I forget, you know, I don't remember Brandon Phillips was number two, but whoever the number two should have been moving him over. And then you had Joey Votto and who's the guy who went to New York? Is that Votto?
Jay Bruce,
you know, with Votto and Bruce, you figured one of those two guys was going to be knocking Billy Hamilton in, you know, at least once or twice a game. You know, I mean, I know that's kind of a lot to expect, but I don't think his numbers really, those categories panned out the way I wanted them to. I don't think he got on base as much. I believe his batting average was in the mid-230s.
He's the 11th ranked center fielder coming into tonight's draft. Now, again, and that does lump in some multi-position guys. You know, obviously, you know, Cespedes plays left and center, qualifies at both. So does Justin Upton. So it lumps a couple guys like that ahead of him. But, yeah, you know, looking here, he did hit 260 last year, so his average improved. But, yeah, you know, I'm kind of looking at his numbers, and, I mean, if you draft Billy Hamilton, all you're getting is deals. He only drove in 7 runs last year, 3 homers, and even with all that speed, he only had 3 triples and 19 doubles.
Yeah. 19 doubles, like I said, with a kid like that with the speed, you figured he would have been up, you know, anywhere north of 30.
Yeah. You know, and then obviously on a poor team last year, he only scored 69 runs. You know, the Reds aren't going to be much better this year. So, you know, you kind of wonder, I'm not a huge, you know, Billy Hamilton guy, unless, of course, you know, obviously there's a right time and a right place for everybody. You know, so if it just happens to fall that way, but, you know, I'm looking at some of the guys he's ranked around. You know, Adam Jones is just ahead of him, and then the next 3 guys behind him are Odubel Herrera, Adam Eaton, and Jackie Bradley. And I got to tell you, I'd probably take one of those 3 over Hamilton if it was down to that point. So, you know, I would be okay with missing out on, a few of the steals for the other, you know, the other categories these guys could give me. So where, you know, would you, there's a right time and a right place to pick, to pick every guy, you know, there really is. I mean, just depending on, you know, who's who and, you know, what spot it is. But now I did want to ask you if you're kind of stuck in the middle of our draft. I'm looking here and it looks like they actually moved Clayton Kershaw down a little. He's 13th overall. Man, I got to tell you, Dan, if I'm sitting there at 10 or something, I would love to take Kershaw in that area. Are you going to grab him if you happen to be sitting there?
Yeah, and all the mock drafts I did, he didn't go past the fifth round or the fifth pick.
So yeah, I'm interested to know who they did they who's in front of him, because that's 13 seems like a bit of a boom for him. But yeah, okay, well, you know, they got Charlie Blackman in front of him. I got to tell you, I don't know if I buy that one, but okay. So. You know, we'll see how it goes. But hey, good luck to Charlie Blackman. I just hope when I'm picking someplace I can land Chris Bryan with my first pick. That's who I'd really like to snag in the first round. So, but you know, I know I'm gonna have to be up top.
Yeah, I was gonna say you need to be like number one or two.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to be number one, because then I'm probably gonna have to take Mike Trout. So I'm hoping I can be two or three, and then, you know, maybe two won't be here, and it'll auto-pick bets for them, and then that'll leave me Chris Bryan at three. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm hoping for. I don't know, my luck isn't I've had some decent luck lately when we've kind of ranked the draft, so I'm hoping maybe I can land one more. I know Mr. Fantasy was giving me a hard time because I got to nominate first in the auction league last year, and I'm like, dude, it's the auction league. It doesn't mean anything. So, you know, it was just kind of like, okay. So, you know, it's like, geez, just, you know, give me a break. It's not like I'm setting these things up. Otherwise I would. Really, I would.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we have the option, but I think that takes the fun away from it.
Yeah, you actually do. You can go in and set the draft order, but I would rather just have it, you know, be random and have fun with it, and you know, kind of work it that way. It, you know, because what's always weird is, I mean, how would I set it? You know what I mean? Where would you put yourself, Dan, if you were ranking the draft order?
Oh, and of course I'd put myself first. But I mean, I think if we were to do it, I would do it the fair way. And, well, then again, you're right, because I don't know, because like you said, how do you do it the fair way? Because, you know, number one, yeah, you get the first pick. But, you know, I was going to immediately say, well, you should go in order from last year, because we do get a pretty good turnout, you know, turnout of guys coming back. Maybe you just put the, you know, make the guy who won the league last, but then that actually gives him an advantage because he gets two picks in a row. So, like you said, I don't really know. I think it's best to just let Yahoo figure it out.
And just so you know, if we were to do it that way, Mr. Fantasy would be picking first, because he was the worst out of the returning teams. So, you know, that's always
the...
you know, I'm interested to see how that goes this year, because, I mean, I think if he bails on us this year, we're not going to really have a choice, but kind of... you know, as weird as it is to say, considering it's somebody who does the podcast with him, but we're going to have to kind of let him move on, aren't we? So, it's only so many things you can do. And I know I'm kind of stuttering and stammering about it, but it's weird to have to say, you know, hey, what, you know, you got to let the guy go who does the Sunday podcast with you. So hopefully he will be on his,
But, you know, maybe he'll be excited because I did a little something different this year. I gave each of our divisions names.
And, oh, did you? Oh, that was nice.
I did two names from the MLB. And, I don't know if I did it in Hulk League. No, I didn't do it in Hulk League. Like, same name, but eight different names. But in the one league, he is in the league. Or he is in the division Can of Corn.
Oh. Well, that's a good place for him, you know. So
yeah, and
I did see. You know, I did see Dan. What always makes me chuckle here is I found a sleeper list. You know, because I'm always trying to find those back end guys that we're going to need late in the draft. And the first name on this guy's sleeper list, and I immediately clicked it off after I saw this name, Kyle Schwarber.
I mean, is that if you're in a 2-team league?
Yeah, in an 8-team league maybe, you know, or even that it wouldn't work because he's the top-ranked catcher in Yahoo. So, you know, he's ranked 54th overall. You'd literally have to be in a 2-team 25-player league for him to be a sleeper. So I was just kind of like, wait, yeah. So I went, yeah, okay, I definitely need another article to peruse, you know, who our sleepers are and, you know, who's not, because that definitely wasn't doing it for me. But I, you know, maybe if you didn't watch the World Series last, he's a sleeper because he only played in 2 games before he got hurt.
Yeah. Well, what I noticed too is the minute he goes, Buster Posey goes next almost every time.
Yeah.
Literally.
So, yeah, well, you know, there's always that, you know, there's always that guy who goes, oh, wait, a catcher when I got to get one. So, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, I got to get a hold of that guy. So.
There were several drafts that I did that I was like, all right, I'm going to get Buster Posey, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah, you know, there's catcher is one of that position. You know, catcher is a lot like closer. You know, if somebody sees a couple go, they kind of panic, and everybody thinks they need one. You know, and you start kind of grabbing and, you know, all that stuff, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I better get one. So.
Yeah, but I think so. And with today's game, the catcher, it's Schwarber and Posey. And then, like you said, then
there's a huge drop after those two, so it's just kind of a matter of, you know, how quickly you panic. You know, I mean, because, you know, where they're sitting at, I mean, you know, they're I think they're at 54 and 55 in Yahoo, if the ranking hasn't changed. You know, once they go there, you know, it's a pretty big drop off. I believe Jonathan LaCroix is third this year, and I know he's in Texas, so it's a little better hitting ballpark, but I'm in no hurry to jump up and grab Jonathan LaCroix. You know, and I know Gary Sanchez is right in there. You know, he's probably a name we'll see go earlier than he should. So, you know, it's just, you know, I'm not gonna jump up and, you know, make that move. So, but I did see here, Dan, I've been trying to pay attention to find out what's going on. There's a report here that Michael Brantley is actually likely to play opening day for Cleveland. I believe they open on Monday. So, you know, of course, the caveat to it is barring any setbacks. But they're talking like he's ready to go. They say he will travel with the Indians to Texas for Monday's season opener. And barring anything unexpected, Brantley should be on the roster and in the lineup for Cleveland. You know, that's huge not only for the Indians but for fantasy guys as well, right? I mean, he's definitely a quality outfielder who's going to be, you know, lowly ranked. And if he's healthy, he could be a steal for somebody.
I don't know. I think it just depends. I have a few guys that I like and, you know, like John Gansworthy. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Okay, Stu. So. But yeah, just kind of interesting. And I'm guessing since you were at work, you probably didn't have the opportunity to see it. But your guy, Steven Souza Jr., who I remember you picked for Rookie of the Year, I don't remember if it was last year or a year ago. He hit like a bomb and a half today. He hit a homer so far, he probably should have counted twice. So if you get a chance, jump on and check out the bomb he hit today. I don't remember. I think it was against the Phillies. So yeah, it was just kind of mammoth if you get a chance to see it. So I was like, damn.
I mean, I wish that was that wasn't a popular story on Bing today, unlike the swarm of bees for the Rockies and the Padres.
Yeah. yeah, the odd things that happen in spring training, you know, there's you know, there's always some strange stuff, but
now, No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're okay.
No, I was gonna switch topics just for the last few minutes.
Oh yeah, might as well.
You know, we did decide to cut out 15 minutes early just so we can get ready for our draft. I know that sounds crazy, but everything helps. Plus, I've got an old, slow computer, so it takes some time to warm up. Yeah, 3 years old. Well, that means the computer years is what, like 15, 20 years old, these days?
No, I remember I bought a new one.
No, I said I have the old one, so.
Yes. Oh, okay. I thought you meant you were still talking about me.
No, me. But, you know, last night, I thought this was weird. I was on the NBC Sports app after we watched one show and I wanted to catch the Bulls, and then I forgot they were on TNT. And so I just turned on YouTube for the hell of it, and somebody was, I'm assuming, illegally streaming the TNT broadcast. It was, you know, a few minutes, it was on delay. But the odd part was they actually showed what was going on in-house, you know, during the commercial breaks. Instead of commercial breaks, you actually saw, like, you know, the activities that go on, you know, the passing out the T-shirts and all that good stuff. But, you know, and obviously you covered the game, so you wrote about it. I did read an article that despite their issues of late, the Cavs are not worried. They're seemingly slumping issues, which has put them...
Yeah.
You know, in second place. I mean, it's still not the end of the world. You're still going to make the playoffs, but they're having a team meeting.
Yeah, well, you know, you can just write off yesterday to the Bulls match on TNT, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's just one of those, you know, one of those interesting things you get to deal with, but. Yeah, you know, it's always tough to buy those things. You know, like Kyrie Irving made some comments about how they took care of it, or they had a team moment, or I forgot how he described it. But, you know, it was one of those things where I was like, well, okay, you know, I mean, well, you know, we'll see. They, you know, they're 6-10 this month. And they play the 76ers tonight, so I would be interested to know if they lose, how things kind of react there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like they're gassed, but I do feel like all of them, their mindset is up for the season.
So, yeah, you know, it's always difficult to look at this. And I mean, you know, the biggest problem with this team is they just don't want to play defense. I believe they're ranked second to last in defense in the league. So, you know, that's obviously a huge deal. And, you know, defense is what's going to win in the playoffs. Now, if they decide they want to, you know, turn it up and play some defense, you know, they can do that. You know, they don't have the true rim protector that they keep talking about they're missing, but, you know, you can still play, you know, quality defense without that guy. It, you know, they're not must-have players. It's, you know, again, it's just one of those, you know, one of those weird situations with this team where, you know, you got to wonder. I mean, they've got one of the best players in the basketball. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, in the NBA, and if they can get it rolling, you know, I mean, I still think they're the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, well, but here's my I will only catch highlights. I'm not going to tune in and watch, especially Cavs games when it comes to the playoffs. So the end of the game is going down. We've got, I think, about 2 minutes left. I mean, I forgot the Bulls were up by at least 10. So, I mean, the game's pretty much in the bag. You know, the Cavs, they're not going to just lay down and hand it over, which they shouldn't. I don't, you know, no team should. And this is what drives me nuts about the NBA. And it's such BS. And this is why I know I don't want to watch the playoffs, because when it comes down to it, the referees are going to turn their heads and they're going to miss stuff. Blatant stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There was a shot last night that bounced off the rim, went completely over the basket, hit the top of the, you know, the backboard, which the ball doesn't bounce back up if it doesn't hit the backboard. And they let the play run and call the foul on the Bulls. Now, both teams are out of fouls, so of course they go to the line. I mean, you know, granted, the Bulls still won, and it's regular season, so it doesn't mean anything. Especially, you know, it does mean a little bit more for the Bulls, because if somehow they can sneak into that last spot, if they can go on a winning streak, that would be great for them. Because they, you know, might end up playing the Cavs, that they might end up playing the Celtics, who knows. But, I mean, you're telling me that happened. It was such BS. And then there was another call. Well, no, the next call, you know, if you're a Bulls fan, it sucks, but it was a foul. Or it was a charge. Because I think it was on Lopez. It was blatantly a charge. You know, there was nothing you could do on that one. But, you know, that kind of set the tone for the Cavaliers, you know, half-witted kind of comeback. And, I mean, that's just what Eric – I mean, you've got three guys on the floor that are watching the game. And you're telling me not one of them saw that. And the play should have been over, and the foul was called after the ball had hit the top of the backboard. I mean, and this is the kind of crap we're going to see to get the Cavs to the finals, because that's what the mothership and that's what they want to see. So, I mean, you know, if it was the Bulls or any other team, I still think it's BS that happens. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, I believe the Cavs are the premier choice out of the East, you know, to go to the finals. So, you know, we'll see how, you know, you hate to say it, but we'll see how these games are officiated. And again, I don't think the first round is going to be a big issue for them or, you know, any other team. You know, they should mow through whoever they get stuck, you know, who they get stuck playing, be it Miami, Indiana, or Chicago. You know, it's going to be that second round where they get a little tougher matchup, you know, and if they end up being the two seed, you know, there's a chance they're going to get the Wizards. And, you know, that's going to be a heck of a matchup. So I would be greatly interested to see how that would play out. So,
you know, it just irritates the hell out of me. I'm like, I know it's such a minor thing, but it could turn out to be a huge thing. You know, and then if that's brought up after the fact, you know, Adam Silver will be like, yeah, it was wrong. I spoke with the NBA and the Referees Association, and they agree too. And that'll be the end of it. Oh. So you guys just you're acknowledging that you turned your head.
Yeah, it's like, well, we had this and then we missed it, but you know it was just an accident. You know, they're only human. You know, it happens. You know, it's just the general realm of excuses that you kind of get. But yeah, you know, and I mean, since we are talking, you know, Cavs from last night. Dan, how weird is this Bulls team, man? They're 4-0 against Cleveland this year. They play great against teams above 500, and they're in ninth place and probably not going to make the playoffs. I can't figure them out. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable. You know how this has kind of worked out for them this year, and I don't think I've ever seen a team as inconsistent as this Bulls team is. I mean, just from game to game, you literally have no idea what you're going to get. You know, they can beat the number two seed in the East like they did last night, and then they can go out and lose the double digits to a team like the 76ers.
Yeah, well, I think the new catchphrase should be unbelievable.
Yeah.
You kind of helped with that one. But, I mean, when you look at it in retrospect, I don't dislike the Rondo signing. I was definitely excited by the Wade thing, but I think that was just more of a kind of a fanatic thing where, I don't know, I think if maybe they were able to land somebody else to take that spot of Wade, who knows? But the more I watch this team, it's like, I think if you can sell Jimmy as high as you can, I think it's time to do that in the offseason and try with the new team. I don't know. I think Robin Lopez, and that's what kills me. You know, Robin Lopez, I think is a much, everyone was upset about Joakim Noah, but I think Robin Lopez fills that position so much better than he did, especially over the last couple of years of what I've watched. There were some shots he made Sunday where I looked at him, I turned to my dad and I go, can you imagine if that was Noah taking that shot? No one would have been around. All every buck would have been down by the basket, you know?
Yeah, you know, and I wonder if, you know, maybe they found what Nikola Mirotic is good at, you know, in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting more minutes, he's getting more shots. You know, and I was baffled all year when, you know, they had McDermott here with them, why they weren't on the floor at the same time, you know, just standing around at the three-point line like every other NBA team does and getting kickouts. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I know they were dying to move him, but he's still here, so maybe it works out.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the one thing, you know, we talk about every day is the NBA game is straight, you know, it's 3 points first and everything else last. But it killed me. You know, I've watched Cavs games where LeBron's going up the middle and he's got a clear, he could show up everybody and dunk it, you know, do a nice little layup. But instead he tosses it, you know, he tosses it up to the 3-point line and boom. Where I watched the game with the Bulls on Sunday and they've got wide open threes and they're passing it on the inside and missing the inside shots. That's what I meant.
They look a little backwards of how a lot of the other NBA teams play. So,
yeah, I mean, if it were Tibbs, I would see why, you know, because that was kind of his thing. That wasn't his game plan, but I thought that was the whole reason by bringing in Hoiberg and quote going younger, filling his system was to take on more of the NBA's, the style of NBA today, where I don't, like I said, I don't really know, you know, what his game plan is or what he was trying to do, you know, but maybe next year will be a lot better.
Speaking of Tim, did you see Ricky Rubio had 33 points last night?
Oh, wow.
So I noticed that, you know, I was kind of like, hey, Ricky, all right, man, you finally got some offense. It's not helping me now because I'm not in the playoffs, but, you know, I should have used him in FanDuel or something. At least he would have paid off for me there. But, yeah, I was a little shocked when I saw that. That's got to be a career high for him. He's not much of a scorer. So.
Yeah, that's the guy you stole from
one
me.
Of those.
I've always
liked him. You know, he's one of those guys I've always liked. You know, I just always wondered if his offense would ever catch up to, you know, the NBA level. So, you know, it did last night. I don't know if it's something that we'll be consistent with, but hey, at least it did last night. So we'll have to see if he can continue to roll that out. But yeah, you know, Dan mentioned we are going to duck out of here a little early to prepare for our draft, but in honor of our baseball draft tonight, I'm going to play a different closing song. So here we go. So, all right, let's see if we can do this. All right, so Dan and I are going to duck out early to get ready for our fantasy draft. Now, Dan is off for the weekend, but Mr. Fantasy is back with me on Sunday for 2 hours at 10 a.m. You know, as always, thanks for listening. Now, don't forget, get over to sportstimeradio.com, check out what's going on over there, follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Jump on that Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. Check out what's going on there. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. And don't forget, you can get this podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.